Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
This is the Sporting KC Show on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
And there's the final whistle. Sporting Kansas City have won the 2017 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup.
Brought to you by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We've got Missouri covered.
Boston, and it's into the back of the net. Johnny Russell for Sporting Kansas City. Takes it away from Boston, gets it forward to Russell on the left-hand side this time. Russell! Espinoza lets it run to Russell. Russell chips the keeper! There's only one Johnny Russell!
And there's only one MLS Player of the Week. And his name is Johnny Russell. Hello and welcome to the Sporting Kansas City Show here on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Nate Bucati, joined, as always, by the one and only El Jefe, Carter Augustine. Good evening, Carter. How are you?
Good evening, Nate. Doing well. Got some Champions League semifinals. It's a good time of the year for soccer as it's winding down in Europe, but ramping up in MLS.
Carter Augustine did not walk into the studio alone. He floated into the studio today on the back of a 5-2 victory for his beloved Liverpool side over Roma. Although, if there's any way to make a 5-2 sour a little bit, it's when you give up two late home goals to kind of leave Roma back in it.
Leave the door open a little bit.
Yeah.
Makes it interesting next week.
Are you nervous, or do you still feel like you got it in the bag after with a 3-goal advantage heading to Rome?
I think Liverpool still should be favorites, but they just did that. They just got the 3-0 victory over Barcelona that they need next week, so they can obviously do it against the top tier of soccer. So they showed flashes during the last 10 minutes that they can be dangerous, Roma. So it makes it a lot more interesting than it was at 5-0.
Came out of nowhere, but they were just getting absolutely slaughtered in that game. But they were able to grab a couple, so we'll see. And, of course, then tomorrow's semifinal, we've got Bayern Munich against Real Madrid. I guess I'm relegated to rooting for my Polish brethren, Robert Lewandowski. And that one, I'm not particularly optimistic for Bayern Munich's chances, but they're a good team. They got a chance.
For sure. Just a clash of the heavyweights, yeah. Right? That's a very, very exciting matchup. Could be a final most years. Madrid going for yet another Champions League in a row here.
We don't need to see that.
Yeah. So, but it's exciting stuff.
Somewhere, Daniel Chaloui is vehemently disagreeing with me right now. He's a big Real Madrid fan. And then, of course, the big match on Thursday, which is the Europa League semi between Arsenal and Atletico Madrid. But that is not where we will begin today. We will talk about the team that sits atop the Supporters' Shield standings in MLS, the one and only Sporting Kansas City on the back of a 6-0 victory over the Vancouver Whitecaps. You just heard the 3 goals by Johnny Russell that got him MLS Team of the Week and now Player of the Week honors. It was announced today. Also, maybe he was the person that elicited the 2 red cards from the Vancouver Whitecaps, which made what was already a dominant performance by Sporting Kansas City a foregone conclusion the rest of the way. So we will, on the show today, break down that 6-0 victory over the Whitecaps. We will talk about the standings a little bit. And now, 8 games in, what do we make of Sporting Kansas City? Not only atop the Western Conference, but they moved level with NYCFC on points. And because of the phenomenal goal differential that they put up in this game, they now lead the Supporter Shield standings because of that goal differential as well. So we'll talk about that a little bit, and we will preview the upcoming match against the New England Revolution as well. Our special guest today is the Audi Index Player of the Week, for whatever that's worth, Johan Quaze, who got a goal and an assist, and he was pushing for that goal. 7 shot attempts. You could tell he wanted it. You could tell he was anxious to get that first goal. He did so, and I think the words that he used for you, or the word he used for you afterwards, was finally. I think that's what I said on the call as well. He got it, but according to the Audi Index, did a lot of other things as well. 48 passes in the successful passes in the opposition half, 30 successful passes in the final third of that game, 10 successful passes in his own half, also put in a lot of challenges in the game, and overall just was a good player for Sporting Kansas City in this one, and Sporting go on to win it 6-0. Let's talk about it a little bit, Carter. You were on the sidelines, and if we go through it chronologically, you could make the argument that the biggest play of the game was not one of the goals scored by Sporting Kansas City, but the goal that was denied by Tim Melia in the very opening minutes of the game.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable save, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was incredible. It was one of those where once he touched it around Melia, you thought it was a goal. I mean, I certainly did.
Yeah.
So like you said, I think that's quite possibly the biggest moment in the game. I mean, then the replays are incredible, too, because I think it was unbelievable the save when it happened. And then somehow the replays are even more unbelievable. You know, it's a world-class save.
Well, the athleticism to Melia is one of the things that makes him special as a goalkeeper, but I think it's one of his biggest strengths, his ability to make those athletic saves. He's not the biggest guy. He doesn't have that 6'5" presence to command the penalty area like some goalkeepers do, but he's incredibly athletic, and he was at full extension on that play. He was able to stay on his feet, even though Reyna had touched the ball around him, like you said. He was able to keep himself in the play, and it is interesting. I mean, it's one of those hypotheticals we'll never know. How would that game have played out if he doesn't make that save? Perhaps Sporting still dominate the proceedings. Certainly they did the next several minutes before the red cards, but we might be talking about a wide-open game at that point. We might be talking about a more organized Vancouver back line that's been bolstered by throwing the first punch in that game. Who knows how that game plays out afterwards if he doesn't make that save.
Yeah, I mean, they get the goal lead, and that allows teams on the road to maybe sit back a little bit more. Although, you know, Vancouver came here not wanting the possession in the first place. But with that goal lead, maybe you can drop a little deeper even. And then Sporting, who knows, if they are unable to break the deadlock, yeah, then they have to start pressing. And then that leaves them more susceptible on the counter. So, yeah, it's a really big save. And, you know, it came within the first 10 minutes as well. And I think that allowed Sporting to finally, you know, once they got going, it really turned into a rout pretty early, but not sure if that would have happened if not for Tim Melia.
Yeah, I'm going to say, I guess this is my Sporting colored glasses on right here. I do think Sporting Kansas City were poised to do really well in that game.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, I mean, that Vancouver team was going to try to bunker in anyways, and it was still 0-0 at that point, and Sporting had no problem opening them up from that point on.
I thought it was a weird formation.
Yeah.
And more so than formation, just personnel. When you have Marcel de Jong at left center back, and then Alphonso Davies is the wing back trying to help him, that was not ideal, I would say, for Vancouver Whitecaps. You know, Alphonso Davies, incredibly talented going forward. You know, and he actually has pretty good numbers in terms of duels won on the year. He's pretty strong in that category. But you're asking him to help out Marcel de Jong, who is not a center back, I don't think.
And no, so, not any way, shape,
yeah,
or form.
And he had himself a rough game. So I think you're right. I mean, all in all, Sporting were thoroughly dominant, and they deserved the victory. Like you said, 3-0 up before the 2 red cards. But the Melia save was still huge and still hugely impressive.
Johnny Russell was already making himself a fan favorite, but I think he just took himself to a different level in terms of the, you know, a status as a fan favorite with his performance on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. One of the reporters in the locker room, there's a big scrum after the game, and they asked Johnny Russell something about being a fan favorite. And he said, you know, he's been lucky to be a fan favorite everywhere he played. And I'm like, that's not luck. That's the way he plays. And
yeah.
I think he was already starting to be a fan favorite, even without the goals. But you add the goals, that certainly helps. And he's just all action, all over the place. And I mean, from the very start of the game, the first thing they do is play. They drop it back to Beasley, and he plays a diagonal up towards Johnny Russell to win an aerial duel. He does. It goes out of bounds, but it's kind of like he won the header right off the bat, and from there he was just unstoppable.
He wins every header.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the guy stands at 5'8", whatever he is. Yeah, and he's listed at 5'10". I'm not buying that. I'm 5'8", and I feel like I look him eye to eye. He wins every header. And not only does he win every header, he puts it exactly where he wants to, whether it's flicking it on to an on-rushing player, whether it's playing it back to somebody. It's incredible. And
Brad Evans pointed that out to us when he was on, right? We were talking about the other stuff that Russell does, and he's like, guys, don't forget, you know, this guy wins almost every single aerial duel.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And obviously the fans are going to love anybody that scores goals for the team. That puts you in one area. Like you said, he's action all over the field. If you couldn't do anything more, one of the biggest villains, you know, the guy in the black hat in all of MLS, Kendall Waston, mixes it up with Roger Espinoza, stands over him after a challenge. We could talk about whether or not Roger made a little bit more out of that, but it was a bad challenge from Waston. Johnny Russell goes on a dead sprint from 40 yards away and gives him a shove and gets in his face before any of his teammates who were closer by could get there. I mean, the fans, what else do you want?
Yeah,
I mean,
that's exactly
what else could he possibly, the fans, what could he do to make the fans love him anymore at this point?
I mean, obviously, that is, the fans loved it, as you would. And I didn't understand the Vancouver benches, they did not take to Johnny Russell's behavior there. I'm like, if that was the reverse role, that's any team wants that from your teammate.
By the way, paint the picture for us there, because you're down on the sideline. You can hear the back and forth between the benches. And let's be honest, there's a lot of back and forth in most games between the benches. But this one seemed like it was a little bit more than
this
usual.
This was a doozy, yeah. This was it wasn't really – I mean, they were up during the altercation. But it was after they went to video review and he came back and gave the two red cards to the Whitecaps. I mean, the whole bench just explodes up almost onto the pitch. And then
they gave the yellow to Russell, which seemed to make him even more mad.
Yeah. Well, you can see in the replay, they gave the first red card to, I can't remember which of the Vancouver players they gave the first red card to.
Right.
But then the Vancouver players are kind of expecting the next one to go to Russell. And instead it swerves over to another Vancouver player and the players start getting animated. The whole bench pops up. They start getting animated. And then, right when that yellow card, that just was the final explosion, I think. And there are a lot of choice words on the sideline from the Vancouver bench. But like I said, what did he do wrong? I mean, Waston is standing over your teammate. And
presumably injured at the time, which, you know, we don't know. Johnny Russell doesn't know whether or not Roger Espinoza's really been hurt, you know?
And so, I think any team wants that. Any teammate wants that from a teammate, and certainly the fans want that. When you put the shirt on for the team that you're rooting for, you love that when a guy puts in that type of commitment. And so, I was really confused by their reaction to what he did. I didn't think he did much wrong other than stick up for a teammate.
I 100% agree. My guess, if I could climb inside the head of Carl Robinson and now I'm already forgetting the goalkeeper coach's name for the Whitecaps who got himself sent off. But if I can put myself in their shoes, my assumption is they're really more mad at the outcome than they are at Johnny Russell.
At the outcome, and at that point, they're getting pretty well spanked.
They're getting spanked. Now they're about to be down two men. It's still fairly early in the first half. I think it happened around 30 minutes, 40 minutes, you know, in the first half. But it's I could see them saying, look, if our guys are going to get two reds, he deserves a red too, whatever. They can be mad about that. But that's anger at the referee, not at Johnny Russell.
Yeah.
There were no antics from Johnny Russell. If there's any anger to me, if you're a Vancouver guy, I can understand maybe a little bit of anger at Roger Espinoza. If you feel like he didn't get caught by Kendall Waston and made a bit of a meal of it, as they say, I can understand you getting a little mad about that. You know, you got your center half booked. But all he did was get a yellow. He didn't get a red card or anything. I thought it was a terrible challenge by Waston.
I thought so, too. And I think he caught him, too. I mean, there's an angle where he does.
Was there?
He scratches him on the Achilles. Yeah. It's obviously not
It's not a leg breaker.
It's not breaking his ankle. But, I mean, that's a big guy. And that's a forceful challenge.
It was a bad tackle.
That he's going into.
Studs up.
And so when he catches him, And he does. I mean, that hurts. Okay. Even if he, even if it's, it's slight contact, but I mean, that would hurt. I mean,
yeah,
that's what's, yeah, that's wild.
And I will make, I will passionately make the case. Anybody who's played the game of soccer at any level, if I'm running at you, and you stick your leg, if you swing your leg right at my knees, and I jump and lunge to avoid getting kicked right across the knees and fall down. That's a foul. Even if, I mean, if I had to completely take an evasive action that caused me to lose my footing and fall to the ground because you swung your leg at me, to me that is a foul. You don't get credit for swinging and missing, you know, in my opinion. And yeah. And that's how I saw that play. I didn't see the view that saw that he did catch him, but to me that's almost irrelevant. You came flying at him with your studs up. He had to lunge out of the way to avoid possibly having a leg breaker. And I don't feel like you have to leave your leg stuck in and get your leg broken in order to earn the punishment there. And I think it doubles down on it when Watson gets up and stands over him and shouting at him. I would be disappointed in a teammate that didn't come to my teammate's yeah. defense in that situation. Johnny Russell didn't make a meal of those guys coming over. He got thrown to the ground. And got right back up and you know, was having words with them and then got hit in the face. None of that, he didn't. And when he got hit in the face, he didn't clutch his face and roll around on the floor screaming and crying or anything. He stood his ground.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing for Johnny Russell to apologize for whatsoever. Nothing but pats on the back should come from all of his teammates.
Yeah, and actually, you know, in the chatter I've seen from Vancouver fans, they seem to agree in that respect. I think they would most take exception to Roger Espinosa, but I think that's what every player does,
every
right?
Player.
To
you got to make sure the ref knows
sure
what happened.
Make sure they give the yellow. I mean, yeah. I think every player does that just about. So, I'm with you. It was one of the biggest coming together, you know, you see, and the face push from Juarez is just, it's so stupid.
It's just,
in this day and age of VAR, it is, or video review, I mean, yep. It is, yeah, it's just a really stupid play, and it completely knocked them out of the game.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I'll make one last point about that. You said everybody does it. I know people don't like embellishment. I know people don't like when they feign injury, and there's maybe, I don't know where the gray area is, but when a bad challenge happens to you, you need to make sure that the referee understands what happened. You need, I mean, selling it is maybe the right word, but you need to make sure that he knows. That's one of the ways you protect yourself as a player. If you've been getting kicked around the field, you have to make sure the ref understands you've been getting kicked around the field. And he's not going to see every little nick and every single time that a guy comes in, studs up. You got to make sure that he sees it. I'm sorry. That's part of the deal.
That's what it is. And I think that's what your teammates expect from you too. I mean, mm-hmm. to put Watson on a yellow card in the first half, he's got to be treading carefully there. So, you know, I don't think he
would. And it was a tackle deserving of a yellow. And it flat out was.
And also, since he did catch him, like, that hurts. So,
yeah. It does. Enough said on that.
Enough said.
Yeah, we'll move on. And then in Sporting Kansas City, what I liked was once they went up to, I thought they handled the game perfectly.
Yeah.
They continued to tack on. I think that could come important. You know, you're running up the score, whatever you want to call it. The goal differential might matter in what figures to be a very tight Western Conference race. I thought Sporting continued to apply the pressure without taking any stupid risks or challenges that would expose them for giving up a goal or put guys in harm's way for injury. They kept playing the game, and they added three goals on as they should.
Yeah, they came right out of halftime too, didn't they? And
yeah.
I thought that was big just to really make sure the nails were in the coffin there. And it really was a formality in the second half. I mean, Vancouver couldn't.
No.
Kick the ball, as you would expect. They were going to struggle for that anyways with 11 people on the field. So I agree. It was just a perfect handling of the situation. They get Gutierrez a run out there at the end, and he looked like he wanted in on the goal action. Just
yep.
came in and fired off a few shots.
Well, Johnny's tied him now for the team lead.
Sure.
He's looking for the lead.
So it was one of those things where you'd love to be an attacker in that game, right? I mean, it was mm-hmm. wave after wave of attack forward. Just keeping the ball in their half for the most part. And, yeah, I think they really saw the game out really professionally.
And Sporting win it by a score of 6-0. And Johnny Russell gets a hat trick. Jimmy Madranda, Christian Lobato, and Johan Quaze as well. Quaze, it opens his account for Sporting Kansas City. We're going to take a break, and we will talk with the Frenchman When we come back, this is the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for Sporting KC Soccer, Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Here's the ball through for Quaze, and he's finally got it! Johan Quaze has opened his Sporting Kansas City account, and it's six now!
That's right. He's made MLS Team of the Week, Audi Index Player of the Week, a goal and an assist on Friday night. Johan Quaze joins us on the program now. Good evening, Johan. How are you?
How are you, Nathan?
I'm doing very well. First things first, congratulations on the goal and being named Team of the Week for MLS. Tell me how that makes you feel.
Yeah, that's really fantastic for me, finally. And because, I have too many chances for the three or four last game, and I finally got it, my first goal for this team. And, also because he's at home. So, this feeling was amazing for me,
Okay, we will talk more about that, but I want to make sure that I am pronouncing your name correctly. Did you hear the radio call right there, my call of your goal? Did I say your name correctly there?
Okay.
Did I say it okay? Can you say your name for us?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Johan Quaze.
Quaze.
Quaze, yeah.
Okay, close enough?
Johan Quaze.
Okay, we got it. Thank you very much.
I know that. It's not easy, I know.
Do you hear people say your name a lot of different ways?
What's the worst?
It's difficult, I know, because it's a French name, so some fans talk to me croissant or something like that. So that's funny, but it's okay, I understand.
So, Johan, we haven't really talked to you so far this season, and I think a lot of fans are curious to know a little bit more about you and how you grew up. What was your childhood like growing up, and where did you grow up, and how did you get into soccer?
So I started the soccer in France when I was 5 years. I played for 14 years for the same clubs. And after I moved in Belgium for 4 years in professional. And now I'm here for 2 years. So because, I love this city. This city is good for me. I love this team. The mentality is different like in Europe. So, I really want to stay here as long as you can,
Okay, so you mentioned you are from France. The town that you are from, Sarrebourg, is that how you say it?
No, I born the city is close from Paris.
Okay,
the city is Metz. It's in first division in France.
Yeah,
so that's here where I born. Yeah.
Okay, so you grew up close to Paris. What was it like living there as a child?
Paris is different, and it's different like in KC, because it's not like in KC, because KC, when I come here for my first time, I say, KC is a big city, but when now I know everything, I say, no, KC is not a big city, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
So Paris is really different because everything is big too, so but doesn't matter for me. I like KC so far because I say that the mentality is different. Every fan is very cool, but if you miss maybe one chance on the goal, nobody can say nothing, just pushing you, and that's fantastic for the player, you know.
So the fans maybe are a little more positive if you miss a chance or something?
Yeah, seriously, it's really different like in Europe or in Belgium.
Yeah. So what do you miss the most about Paris or France or Belgium? What do you miss the most?
The most, my family, for sure. But they will come in June, so I'm happy for that. But, also the food. The food is really better in Paris and France. So that's okay. Yeah, we have some restaurant French in KC, so that's good.
Have you been to any of the French restaurants in Kansas City yet?
Yeah, for sure. Just one is Le Fou Frog.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Down River Market.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. It's really nice.
You liked it?
So, yeah. Yeah, I go sometimes when I can go with my friends or when I have my time. So, yeah, this restaurant is my best. Yeah.
There's another French restaurant called Auxois. Have you heard of this yet?
Oh, no.
Okay.
I don't know where it is.
You'll have to,
in town?
Yeah, it's here in town. It's in Brookside. I'll have to tell you about it sometime. My wife loves to go there. It's called Auxois.
Okay.
What's your favorite food? What's your favorite French food?
French food? I have too many. I don't know. Seriously, I would say French fries for sure. And, with a big steak, you know.
Yeah?
The French fries was amazing. That's not... Yeah. I will say French fries, but with a steak or something like that. Yeah. But I can eat everything, so that's good.
Is that pommes frites? Is that how they say it?
Yeah.
The
same, yeah.
They have that at Auxois, by the way. That's what I always get, is the steak with pommes frites. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's so good.
Yeah. What about American food? Have you tried any barbecue yet?
Yes. When I come here for sign my contract, I don't remember the name from the restaurant, but I tried the barbecue and it was so good. But I think if I eat every day barbecue, the coach will kill me. I can, but it was so good.
Yeah, you have to be careful, right? You have to stay fit.
Yeah, that's right.
So, Johan, how did you become interested in soccer? Did you have any favorite players growing up? Did you watch the French national team?
Seriously, not. You know, when you speak about the MLS or something like that in Europe, every player will be scared because the first things and every guy say, yeah, no, don't go there because you're too young. You can play in Belgium more. And I say, no, I want to try. I want to move. I want a new culture, you know. And also when you speak about the MLS, you just, everybody knows LA Galaxy, maybe New York City. But seriously, before I signed here, I didn't know Sporting KC. So when I speak with some guys from this club, I say, okay, I want to come for sure, for see the city and for see everything. And that's why I signed here, because this atmosphere is really good for me.
So I'm trying to think, were you even old enough to remember France winning the World Cup in 1998?
Yeah. I think I have. 1919, yeah. 6 years, I think, something like that.
Yeah.
It was crazy, yeah.
Did you have any favorite players from that time?
From that time? Yeah, I will say Vicente Lizarazu. He played for Bayern Munich. He's a small left back. I don't know if you remember. Because before I play, I'm the midfielder. I was in left back, a player from left back. My formation is left back, not midfielder. So that's why I like this guy.
Okay.
And for sure, Zidane.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Zidane. He's a legend.
Yeah. Big legend. Yeah, that's true.
So that's really interesting that you started as left back. When did you move more to midfield or in attack?
It was... My last season in France, I played for the second team. And, you have too many... Yeah, if I remember, you have two or three left backs. Yeah, and I asking to the coach, I say, okay, you know, next week I will change the club. So, yeah, I won't take a pressure on the field. So I'm going to try to play more midfielder. And I don't know, you can choose my position and say, okay, so... He tried me on number 10 or right side or left side, and he see my quality. And after after this, I signed in Belgium in second division two. Yeah, that's this moment when I changed my position, when I play my last season in France. Yeah.
We are visiting with Johan Quaze, who scored a goal and had an assist for Sporting Kansas City on Friday against Vancouver. Johan, you told us your family will come visit you in June. Do you have brothers and sisters? How many family members do you have?
I have one little brother and two big sisters and two nephews.
All right. Are the nephews going to come to visit you as well?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's great.
All my family, they will come.
So do your sisters and brother like to play soccer as well?
My sister's not, but yeah, my little brother likes it. So. But now he's young. He's only 15 years, so first we go to the school. And yeah, after we will see. But he's a good player, but I don't know if he wants to play professional soccer, you know, so I don't know, but he likes soccer for sure.
Okay. When you talked about your position, you have played both central midfield and on the wing for Sporting Kansas City. How difficult is that difficult for you to try to play two different positions?
Seriously, I think in the preseason, the two or three first game I play on the midfield, but after Felipe is coming, I play on the right side, and everyone knows also in Belgium I play a lot of the game on the right side, but it's not my position. And yeah, now sometimes I start on the bench, sometimes I start the game, but okay, I need to accept it. The most important, and the team win we win almost every game, so that's good for us. And I can say nothing. I'm just happy to be there. When I play, I give my maximum for the team. And yeah, the coach know that if I am the field, I'm not a liar. And if I am the bench, I will always support my teammates. So for me, it doesn't matter where I play, but for sure my position is in the midfield, yeah.
Well, you talked about it, Johan. You guys are off to a great start so far. Just lost the one game and have been unbeaten ever since. What do you make of this Sporting KC team now that you guys are eight games into the season? What do you make of your new team?
I think it's just the mentality, you know. If you don't start, or if you start the game, your mentality needs to stay on the same way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just need to work again and again, and maybe in the future I will play more games on the field, and yeah, we will see in the future. Yeah.
What do you like the most about your teammates on this team?
I don't know. I think every guy is so funny, so cool. Johnny is so funny. Matt Wiesler is so funny. Every guy is cool. It's really different. It's more like a family, you know. It's not like you're a soccer professional, but it's more like family. You can speak with everyone if you need something. Everyone is here for help you, you know.
Yeah. Well, Johan, your English is really good. Do you...
No, seriously, it's bad, bro.
No, it's very good.
Hey, look, it's a lot better than my French, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. it's not easy because... I just speak for 5 or 6 months, my English, so yeah, it's not easy to speak sometimes.
Did you speak English before you came to the United States?
No, never.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just take a teacher in Belgium every day, so yeah, now I just start to speak English for 5 or 6 years, yeah.
Are you...
5 or 6 months, sorry.
Okay. Are you taking classes here to learn more English?
We have class here, but I never go because I always want to take a nap. So when I finish my training, I just go fast in my home.
Yeah. So you're just learning on your own?
Yeah, yeah. And you know when you speak with some guys, yeah, it's more and more easy every day after every day. So wow.
Well, it's very good.
Yeah.
Much respect to do it in a second language. Yeah, very impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah. We really appreciate the time, Johan, and congratulations on your goal and on your great start to the season.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Yes, okay.
All right. I'm going to take you to Auxois, too. Get you some pommes frites, some steak. How's that sound? Look, I give a lot of credit. That's Johan Croizet. Just imagine yourself moving to another country where you've never spoken that language and trying to do a phone interview. Very good stuff from Johan Croizet. Yeah. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll start to preview the matchup against the New England Revolution next. This is the Sporting Kansas City Show on your home for Sporting Kansas City Soccer, Sports Radio 810, WHB.
The ball in by Jimmy Madronda. Golazo!
And that goal by Jimmy Madronda is up for MLS Goal of the Week. I believe voting still going on? I should know that. I probably should have looked that up before I even came on this segment.
Or at least before you went into that part of it, for sure.
Yep. I know at least at one point it was up for Goal of the Week.
That's
so
true.
Go to sportingkc.com, see if you can vote. Let's see. Vote for MLS Goal of the Week. This came out 2 minutes ago at MLSsoccer.com.
Wow,
so,
the timing there.
Bam.
Huh?
How about that?
Great hit from Jimmy. I certainly didn't expect it. I think I was mid-sentence. So came out of nowhere, and it seemed like the goalkeeper didn't expect it either.
Yeah, I mean, the best part about it, we got some love nationally for Carter Augustine because
that's not the best part.
Charlie,
about
on the graphic at the bottom of the screen, Carter Augustine was doing a report, and so we got the graphic up there that says Carter Augustine reporting. And so when all the national, you know, ESPN and everybody put that up there on their plays of the week, there's a graphic for Carter Augustine right there. I mean, big time, big time, buddy.
No,
I had no idea. I was just in the same company as two big time guys right here.
Well, one big
especially,
time,
especially yeah,
one.
Especially
there's only
Carter.
One LFA.
Yeah, right.
You got to take the pub wherever you get it, man. You can't don't shy away from this.
Well, I'm actually mad at Jimmy because he interrupted the hit on Emiliano Amor, and so
that's true.
I thought it was obviously I didn't expect the goal the shot to come. And then it went in.
I promise not to unleash a 30-yard golazo right now. So the floor is yours about Emiliano Amor. And it is worthwhile because he made his first ever Sporting Kansas City appearance. But you have seen him play for Swope Park Rangers as the play-by-play voice of Swope Park Rangers. So tell us a little bit about Emiliano Amor, what you saw from him in the game, but also what you've seen from him so far with Swope Park Rangers.
Yeah, I think the game was perfect for him. Being that he's more of a ball playing center.
Hang on, golazo! Sorry, okay. Anyways, go ahead.
And yeah, I thought he was having a good introduction up until that point, and then obviously the second half becomes pretty easy for him. But I thought he played pretty well throughout the game, Emiliano, and it's what you like in a young center back who's your third choice behind two former defenders of the year. So I thought it was a good game for him to come in, and he can play that big diagonal just like Beisler. And one thing that I was going to touch on in that report is that we were filming the goal celebrations for the video board, and he said, you know, you guys are going to play this one. So he got a few goals down in Argentina.
Yep.
And I think he'll be a threat on set pieces whenever he's in the game as well. But I don't know. I don't know about you. I thought he made a pretty good debut.
Yeah, it was
not a whole lot to do.
Not a lot to do because we've talked about the nature of the game. I mean, I haven't had a chance to go back and really digest the only real goal-scoring opportunity that I remember the Whitecaps having, which was that great save we talked about by Tim Melia.
Yep.
I don't even want to say which player I thought got maybe stepped a little half a second late on that play because Reyna stepped through. I mean, he was barely onside, but he was. So, but I don't think it was on the side. It wasn't really on Amor's side, so I don't know if he had anything to do with that or not. outside of that, I mean, not really anything to criticize about the defense, but the defense didn't really end up having much to do. That's not fair to say. I mean, they have to keep the ball in.
First half, they had a lot to do.
And even in the second half, every time the ball came his way, he won the ball away from
Breck Shea,
Blondell or Breck Shea.
Who's on an island there.
But you know, he didn't let him even get a breath.
Yeah.
And so I thought he did everything you could have asked him to do. I've gone to watch him play at Children's Mercy Park for Swill Park Rangers, and I was impressed. And, you know, seeing him in training, I've been impressed as well. So I think it is good depth for Sporting Kansas City at that center back position. And by the way, the news did come out today that Swill Park Rangers will be playing all of the rest of their home games at Children's Mercy Park this year. If you got tickets to the original venue, those tickets will transfer to Children's Mercy Park as well. So I'll throw that in there. But I thought he did well. And, you know, maybe in some ways that's a good way for you to get your first team debut.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit less pressure, you know, and he got out there and got to communicate with Matt Beasler a little bit. And, look, it's a good situation to be in, too. If you got two veterans like Matt Beasler and Graham Zusi flanking you on each side, that's a good way to step in as a young guy.
Yeah, Ilya in front of you and Melia behind you. I think that is a nice little security blanket for him to step into. And I think the game really, really would have suited him anyways, the amount of possession Sporting Kansas City were going to have. So, I think it was a pretty good debut from Emiliano Amor.
Well, he's a sturdy presence, too. I mean, I think he's only listed at about 6 feet tall. He looks taller than that to me, but he's big. He's got a physical presence to him.
Yeah, and we'll see if he has some of that Argentine bite to him as well. As
I'm just going to go ahead and assume that he does.
I thought he played well.
So Sporting Kansas City now get themselves ready for what I think is a tough road challenge at the New England Revolution coming up on Saturday at 6:30. Give you all the details here, of course. Television broadcast on Fox Sports Kansas City Plus. It will start at 6 o'clock, pregame coverage at 6 o'clock, and then, of course, kickoff at 6:30. The game also obviously broadcasted on the radio right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB with the final whistle immediately following the game. The Revolution 3-2-2 on the year. Sporting Kansas City 5-1-2. This is a Revolution team that has been really good at home more often than not. It's been a tough place for Sporting Kansas City to play. They have a new manager in Brad Friedel, and they've brought a little bit of a different style with the managerial change, and I think it's going to be one that's an interesting challenge for Sporting on Saturday.
Yeah, they like to press a little bit more this year, don't they? They've always had, or not always, but the past few years, they seem to have a bunch of attacking talent, and they've implemented the new strategy pretty well so far. They're scoring some goals. They got a nice come-from-behind point over the last weekend, and they've got some guys that can make some plays. So I think the pressing strategy makes sense when you have those type of attacking qualities. And if they win the ball high up the pitch, obviously that's their objective. They've got guys who are really dangerous in one-on-one situations.
Yeah, and we obviously know about Teal Bunbury. I believe he scored 3 goals in the last 4 games.
Yeah, he's playing well right now.
Yeah, he had a really good goal in their 2-2 draw against the Columbus Crew at Columbus this past weekend. So obviously that's somebody that Sporting Kansas City will be familiar with and know to look out for.
And as we talked to Kerry Zavagnin, it's one that I'm sure Teal Bunbury will have circled on the schedule at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, no doubt about that. His former team as well. And the situation with Lee Wynn is still an interesting one.
Baffling.
Yeah. If for those that don't know, you could make the strong case that he's been their best player the last couple years. And
probably back to their MLS Cup run. When it was probably him and Jermaine Jones at that point. But
and what was that, 3 years ago now?
Yeah.
And he wanted a new contract or to be traded. Came in with those demands into this offseason. Brad Friedel, the new manager, basically said, then we will sit you and we will not play you. And we will also not trade you. And there have been some interesting comments from Brad Friedel to the press claiming he's not punishing Lee Wynn, but also then making several comments that are a little bit cryptic to the fact of we're going to play players that are committed to the team.
Yeah.
He's spoken highly of Diego Fagundes, who's playing in that role now, who's been in their system forever since he was a teenager.
Yeah.
So it seems like he's older than
he is. I know. It feels like he played for in 1996.
Yeah. But he's still
forever.
Like in his mid-20s,
yeah, exactly.
Like early to mid-20s, because he's been there and he is playing well. But a player the quality of Lee Wynn does not belong rotting on a bench in MLS.
Yeah, and he's not even on the bench right now.
Right. I mean, he's not even in the 18. Exactly. Hasn't been in the 18 yet this year. But they will. They have said to this point they're not interested in trading him.
Supposedly, turned down, $750,000?
According to Taylor Twelman, they turned down a $750,000 offer from a team in the Eastern Conference.
I think people are reporting the fire is the rumor going
mm-hmm.
around.
Mm-hmm. But they stand in fourth place. I guess Brad Friedel, you know, this is a chance for him to plant his flag that he's not going to have any players dictate terms to him on how things are going to go there. And 3-2-2, they're 2-1-1 at home so far. I guess he could make the case that, look, we're doing okay without you. We don't need you. But it's an interesting story, isn't it?
It is. It's really interesting. But they brought in some other guys this offseason as well. Pania, we got a chance to see him down in Tucson. And he looks like a winger that can be really effective in one-on-one situations. I think he got the goal, the equalizer, this past weekend on a nice pass from Juan Agudelo. So they do have attacking options. It's just weird that Lee Wynn isn't one of them and that they wouldn't trade him away. I could perhaps understand the reticence to trade him within the same conference. Maybe they're holding out for a Western Conference offer. But it seems really strange. You feel like Lee Wynn would help any team in this league.
Yeah, and of course, Zahibo has been brought in to kind of bring the bite to the center midfield area. You talked about the high press. In watching the game a couple of weeks ago that they played at home against FC Dallas, FC Dallas just decided to boot the ball up the field. We know Sporting Kansas City is going to do everything they can to try to play through that high press. I think this is maybe the first time they're going to see a team that will consistently high press them from start to finish the way that NYCFC did since the first game of the season. I don't think they're as good as NYCFC, and I don't think anybody in the league outside of New England would argue that they are, but they are home. And I think it's another chance for Sporting to show how they can handle that type of pressure in this game. And the other thing, you and I have talked about this, Carter, I was thinking about this. You were the one that pointed out when we see Sporting at home, even when other teams do try to high press, they have gotten so good, even the ball kids are quickly getting the balls back into circulation for Sporting to play it out of the back on goal kicks before the other team can even initiate the high press. They're not going to have that advantage on the road because the ball boys and ball kids might be a little slower to get the ball to Tim Melia. So it'll be interesting to see how Sporting Kansas City approach this.
Well, yeah, that's they don't get that. They don't get to play on grass as they normally do. Have the football lines. It's a pretty different away experience. And I think, like you said, that's why New England usually pretty tough to beat at home. I'm really curious to see how if they're able to press Sporting as well. New York so good at that all season long. We'll see if New England can do it as effectively. But Sporting Kansas City, how great have they been on the road to start the season, scoring multiple goals in each one of their road games? It's a far cry from last season, and they look really dangerous on the road. So if New England are able to keep the ball a little bit, and Sporting can hit them on the counter as well. So I think the two teams match up really well, and there's good attacking players on each side as well. So I'm really looking forward to this one.
Sporting Kansas City a year ago got 13 points away from home. This year they already have seven out of their first three games. They're already over halfway to their total. They were able to get draws away from home last year, mm-hmm. seven of them, but they just couldn't get very many wins. They've already got two this year. And we see that those can rack up, and I fancy their chances to try to go for 3 points in this game, especially considering that the reports are that Felipe Gutierrez and Aiko Parra are back in training. If those players are able to play and contribute, I think that that only bolsters their chances in this game.
Yeah, well, we talk about how the Vancouver game, really, they handled it well. One of the things that they did, they were able to get Felipe Gutierrez, a 15-minute run out there mm-hmm. towards the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you would expect that would help his fitness in building up, and you know, maybe we'll see him from the start. And
they also got to rest Johnny Russell a little bit.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's fresh.
A little bit of a rest for him.
Yep.
But you know, they've been flying even without Felipe Gutierrez the past couple of games.
Yep. 2-0-1 without him.
So to bring him back, this team is looking really strong in the early going. They're looking really strong.
Well, the depth is so different. Their leading goal scorer from last year did not play also in the last game. And we hope that Gerso continues to work his way back from a little injury that he suffered. But it's all exciting for Sporting Kansas City right now. Again, 6:30 on Saturday as they take on the New England Revolution on Sports Radio 810 WHB and Fox Sports Kansas City and the Fox Sports Go app. Our thanks to Johan Quaze, man, a guy doing a radio phone interview where he can't even see his face-to-face in a second language. That's never easy. So major credit to him for doing that.
Fun
and thanks
one.
To Charlie and Carter. We'll see you next week on the Sporting Kansas City Show.